Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Things are changing. It's a different day and a different hour. And God needs the church to rise up, because I see help coming from no other place. I see help coming from no other place. Not from the political world. Not from the economic world. No other place. The only place the help can come from to this world is the church of the living God. And it cannot happen until the church gets on fire with the presence of Almighty God. Let's turn to the word of the Lord. Psalm 45:1. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I've made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Now let me read two other verses that doesn't seem like they correlate well, but they will. Acts 2:36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly. This is Peter preaching on the birthday of the church, on the day of Pentecost. That's where the church was born, on the day of Pentecost. So Peter is preaching, and this is what he says. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. This is the next verse. Now when they being the people that had crucified Jesus, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? The new translation said they were cut to their heart. They were cut to their hearts. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about a matter of the heart. This is an amazing text, and I've read it thousands of times and preached on from this Acts chapter 2 hundreds of times. And only this week in the Spirit, in the depth of the Holy Spirit, did God show me this. That Peter was preaching to the very people that had crucified Christ. I understood that. These are the very people that took Jesus and nailed him to the cross just a few days prior to this. Now Peter is preaching to them. And the Bible said that these same people that have crucified him, he's both Lord and Christ. When Peter preached to them, they were cut to their hearts. They were cut to their hearts. This is what I've never thought about before. The people that crucified Jesus were sincere. They thought that Christ was a blasphemer, and the Scripture records that he had blasphemed God by claiming to be both the Son of God and God. And so they felt like they were doing the work of God to crucify Christ. It wasn't that they were anti-religious. They were very religious. It wasn't that they were anti-God. It was that they simply did not know who God was. And so they crucified Jesus. His blood was still on their garments, on their sandals, and on their hands. And Peter stood up boldly and said, You crucified him. And let me tell you who he was. He was both Lord and Christ. In other words, he was the Redeemer and he was God. And you crucified him. And when they heard this, they were so sincere in what they had done, sincerely wrong. They were cut to their heart. Their hearts smote them. They were sincerely wrong. Just being sincere is not enough. Sincerity is a great thing, and it must be woven into the fabric of your reconciliation with God. But all the cults that evolve around Christianity are sincere. They might be terribly wrong in their translations of the Scripture, but they're sincere. But that sincerity alone will not save them. Because God looks not on the psychic or the mind or the intent or the sincerity alone. God looks on the heart. And these men that had just crucified Jesus, they were convicted in their heart. There are only two heart conditions in the Bible that the Bible identifies. David talked about one, a clean heart. And the Apostle Paul would write, and Jesus would speak, about a hardened heart. What is the difference? A clean heart is always obedient. When these men that had crucified Christ in their sincerity realized the gravity of their error, what did they do? They said, "What shall we do?" A sincere heart, an obedient heart, a clean heart always asks the question, "What must I do?" A hardened heart always says, "I don't have to do that." And you'll hear a lot of people when you talk about the Bible, "I don't have to do that." I have people tell me that all the time. I don't approach them, they approach me. And let me know that they're going to live like they're going to live, and God's going to approve it. God still expects obedience to His Word just as importantly today as He did in any dispensation. And we're living under a pseudo-false grace that people talk about all the time. The Bible said that Noah found grace. But had he not built the ark, he would have drowned just like everybody else. Just saying I live under grace is not enough. We have to become obedient to God's Word. This modern interpretation of grace is just a new way of rebelling. Rebelling against God's Word, to disobey God's command while cloaking it in pseudo-grace is self-deception. The Apostle Paul said, don't deceive yourself. Peter had accused them of crucifying Jesus. They might have been murderers, but they didn't have hard hearts. This was not accusing them of shoplifting or smoking a joint. This is accusing them of crucifying the Savior of the world. And they said, as they were cut to their hearts, "What shall we do?" God distinguishes between Esau and Jacob not because of their actions, but because of their hearts. Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." We love to stop right there. Read the next verse. "If you love me and keep my commandments." Three things that Peter told these people that had just crucified Christ, that were cut to their hearts. Three things. Peter said in the repent, "Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I hear people talking all the time about all you need to do is believe on Christ. That, my friend, is true. But there is proof in faith. There is proof in believing. You can claim to believe Christ, but if you don't pick up a cross, your cross, and follow Him, you're not a true believer. He said, repent. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The old song in the 70s said, me and Jesus got our own thing going. We got it all worked out. No. You can't separate yourself from the body of Christ and be saved. The body of Christ is the wife. It's the family. And so he said, repent. I read the other day where a great television preacher said, baptism is not necessarily even for us today. In order to believe that, you have to delete 50 scriptures at least in the Bible. Jesus said, he that believeth. When Jesus said believe, there was always something that followed that. Always something to do. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Does baptism save us? No. Why? You can get baptized and still not believe. But you can't believe and not get baptized. You can get baptized and not have faith, but you can't have faith and not get baptized. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he said, after you have baptized, he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter said to these men with a bleeding heart that had just crucified Christ, that said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Do you know what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit? "He that believeth on me," Jesus said this, "as the scripture hath said." So many people say they believe on Jesus, but it's according to their philosophy, not as the scripture has said. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said," as the Bible says. He said, "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." He said, if you believe on me as the scripture has said, the Holy Spirit will come to you and be like a buoyancy. It'll just flow right back out. You'll have a river flowing out of you. Very few Christians today are embracing the teaching of God. They're just saying, "I believe, and everything's all right." But there is a whole book. If the plan that people are following today was God's plan for the world, he could have written it on a matchbook cover. But he didn't. He gave us a whole book and said, "Search the book," because he said, "In it you think you have eternal life." These are Jesus' commandments. Why do people not obey these commandments? Because they do not truly believe. Their heart is not pliable or soft. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaketh. If you don't love God's word, you don't love God's people, you don't love God's house, you don't love God's prayer, you don't love God's worship, you don't have a treasure. Your treasure will be the things of God. So most people have a hardened heart. They will not be convicted. A hard heart's never convicted. It's always resistant. "Well, you can't tell me that. Don't judge me." And the scripture plainly tells us to judge all things. In the book of Acts, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart." Uncircumcised in heart. You remember in the Old Testament, there's a scripture that said, in this day, talking about our dispensation, God said, "I'll take out your stony heart and I'll replace it with a soft heart that I can implant my truth into." He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you." A hard heart resists the word of God. A soft heart is pliable. These men had just crucified Jesus, but they were cut to their heart, and they immediately said, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" I've had lots of people say, "Do I have to do that?" But I've had other people that are hungry for the Lord saying, "What can I do?" They want more and more of God. There's a folly of comparison. People compare themselves to other people. "Well, I'm doing better than she's doing." I'm not comparing myself to one preacher. I don't compare myself to T.D. Jakes or Kenneth Copeland. I don't compare myself to you or even to Becky. I compare myself to no one. The Bible said, "Dare not make ourselves of that number that compare ourselves with some that have commended themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise." It's between me and the Lord Jesus. We need to rend, as Joel said, "Rend your hearts and not your garments." You need to look into your heart and see, how much do I love the Lord and how much do I love the things of this world? I see it comes up all the time. Might have been in Buffalo. They had to move the football game out of Buffalo, New York, because it snowed about 5 or 6 feet there. But a few years ago, somebody posted a picture online. I've seen it time and time again. But it's a football stadium, NFL game, and people are sitting by the tens of thousands, and they're covered with snow. You think at first it's not real, there's food, but there's actually people under that snow, and they're watching a football game. Those same people, I dare say, would make that effort to be in the house of God. That's where their heart is. And so I pray in the last trimester of my life, I pray as I see the day of the Lord approaching, Brother Jerome, as I realize this world is eroding and falling apart right before my eyes, I realize I have no hope in this world, only Christ. I ask God, God, don't let me become hard-hearted. And that's possible. Paul warned about it. He said, lest I preach to others and I myself become a castaway. Friend, you that have lived for the Lord a long time, you have to guard as well as those that are new in the Lord that your heart stay pliable and soft. That the still small voice of God rattles your cage. That the still small voice of God means something. Coming to the house of God still has tremendous value. The ability to lift your hands and realize you've got a tear rolling from your eye. And it's not because you've got a pink slip at work. It's because you're in the presence of the one that loved you so much that he died for you. And your heart is just that soft that you just can't hold back the tears. You know, it's not enough that you be coerced and forced and emulate somebody else's praise. Praise is not really pleasing to God until it is a spontaneous result of what's happened in the human heart, and it is flooded with gratitude. Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's coming up. But Thanksgiving is to be a part of us that we're so grateful that we have been pulled out of this world. The Bible said that we were plucked like brands from the burning. I'm always amazed when somebody's rescued from a burning house or a burning mobile home or a burning car, and they show the gratitude to the person that has saved their life, as they rightly should. But what about we that have been pulled like brands from the burning and praise God in a world that mostly does not know God? We have that intimate relationship that I talked about earlier in the service, that we can talk to him in a split second. That we talk to him not just coming to church, but he is a part of our present conversation. When our wife and husband are not near, we're probably talking to him. We're talking to him because we have a soft heart. David had a recipe for a clean, pliable, soft heart. Did you ever wonder about David? David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. And then God would say David was a man after God's own heart. Has that ever caused you to wonder? See, how does God measure with your heart? David had that ability to repent. We love to sing about and talk about his mercy is fresh every day. But the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Repentance is not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. Becky said to me the other day, she pulled out a pad on her desk, didn't have a thing, it's brand new, and she's getting ready to write and start her list. She said, I just love a clean sheet. And I do too. I keep a legal pad on my desk, and every day every evening before I leave, I write a list of things I want to do the next day. But I love it when I get that list done and I rip it off and wad it up, throw it in the waste, and there's a clean sheet. Praise God. David had a terrible soiled sheet, but he was able because he died daily and repented, and because God's mercy is fresh every day, he was able to rip that sheet off, and instead of saying adulterer, murderer, it said a man after God's own heart. That's what I want. In the last trimester of my life, I want a heart after God. I don't want the things I used to want. I used to have to success. I don't know how many preachers and Christians alike. I don't know how many of us worship at the altar of success. Success is not how big a building you build or how many people you have in your congregation or how much money you got. It's not the job that you have reached and the promotion you have obtained. It's not the fact that you have a great savings and you can retire without a worry. That's not real success. A real success is that you would have a heart after God's heart, a soft, pliable heart. And the Bible said David, after all of his terrible sins, came to that place to where he had a soft, pliable heart. He said, number one, the reason why my heart is soft. This is his recipe, and I'm trying to follow it. I find myself praying more than I've ever prayed in my life. I find myself caring more than I've ever cared. I find myself realizing the importance of people that can help me. I find myself realizing their importance more because they're created in the image of God and they're going to live forever somewhere. They are important. Every last one of us are important in the sight of God. I find myself that God is kneading my heart like an old cook would knead the dough. He's working my heart and saying, Steve, I want to make your heart pliable. And so I look at David's recipe. And David said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In this secular world that constantly bombast God and say there is no God, and they have all kinds of stories. If there is a God, why do people die in earthquakes? And why do hurricanes destroy people? Why is that? I don't know the answer to all the questions. I've got philosophies. But it does not in any way do anything to erode my understanding that there is a real God. A real God that sits in his heaven, but the earth is his footstool. He created me his image. And David said, I know there is a God. Number two, David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the Lord. I find myself meditating so much more than I ever have on the person of God and the Word of God. Just thinking about God's Word. I can't look at the news without having a remedy for the news. So this is terrible. This is tragic. My heart's broken for the suffering in this world. And the only way that I can have a counterpart for that is to begin to meditate on God's Word. He said, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these. David said, that's part of my recipe for keeping my heart pliable, is meditating on God's Word. Number two, the invitation. This is important. David said to the Lord, I invite you. God could put you in a headlock, throw you down, and put his foot on your chest, but he's not going to do that. And David said, this is the way I keep my heart soft. I pray this prayer. I make this invitation. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, the people that I look about, you know, Jaden said last night, Jaden's 16, and so we were talking, and she said, you know, when I get older, maybe I'll be just like you. And I said, so somewhere in your mind, you think you're going to transition into an old man. She said, no, that's not what I meant. But I don't look at young boys or young girls. I look at young men. And I said, no, that's not me. I look at old men. And I see old men that are cranky and they're crotchety and they're mean and they're faithless. And I say, ah, that's what I've got to keep from being. Create in me a clean heart. Lord, let me have the faith of my youth. When you're 73, Reba, you're not there yet, but you will be one day. You say to God, Lord, let me become as a little child. That's what Jesus said. It's exactly what he was saying. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Fourth, David said, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. I found out that as a person that's coming to the end of his life, I want to become a better praiser than I've ever been. I want my heart to be filled with gratitude for a life that God gave me and a redemption that is sure and a promise of eternity with Jesus Christ in a real heaven. The Bible said the old man leaned on his staff, dying, and praised the Lord. I want to, as my daddy used to like that song, it was an old gospel song that said, when my time comes to go, I want to leave here shouting when my time comes to go. I want to be a praiser more now than I was as a young person. Number five, keep your heart pliable. The word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. Hide the word of God in your heart. Learn to love the Word of God. I remember the dying months of my daddy when I would go see him. He'd be sitting there with his old Bible, and he'd be reading that Bible page after page, hour after hour. You need to hide the Word of God. Number six, if you want your heart to be pliable, You need to have a heart for His house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's very easy to become judgmental. And David said, my heart became hardened. He said, my old heart just got bitter. Because he said, my next door neighbor won the lottery and he was an atheist. He said, because my friend was just a rank sinner and he got a promotion on job and he lived in a fine house and drove two beautiful cars and had $1 million in his savings. David said, I looked at the rich and the wicked, and he said, my heart was hard. Friend, I promise you, there are things in this world, if you don't become a regular attender of God's house, your heart will become hard. There's just things in this world. Brandon likes to say, life is not fair. And to use bad grammar, it ain't. Life is not fair. That's the reason why I chose Jesus to equal the scale, to make things different. The thief comes to steal, to kill, destroy, but Jesus came to give me abundant life. And so David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. My feet were way nigh into slipping because I had saw and I envied the wicked. I envied those that lost 20. You see, the guy lost $28 billion this week in crypto. $28 billion. It was a Ponzi scheme all along. This world is in a mess. The love of money is the root of all evil. And David said, I saw that, and my heart got hard. But he said, I went to the house of God, and when I got to the house of God, into the sanctuary of God, I understood therein my heart was renewed. That clean heart that I prayed for came back. My heart became soft. Ladies and gentlemen, it's up to you to keep your heart soft. I'm doing everything I can to keep this old body together. I got my eyes fixed. I can see the New Braunfels now. Man, it's awesome. Man, I've got awesome vision. I go to my heart doctor. I go to all the doctors I can think of. I'm just working on this body. I tore this leg up, and so they fixed it. And I went to the doctor. He said, there's nothing wrong with it, except now you got to go to the therapy. And somebody said that knows me, said, you're not going to go to therapy. Oh, you don't understand the new Steve. The new Steve will go to therapy because I want this old leg to be like it used to be. Praise God. So I start December the 1st. I'm working on this body, Jerome. I'm going to keep it working as good as it possibly can until Jesus comes and I get that new body. But more than that, I'm working on this old heart. And so I come to God's sanctuary, and He's just given me a new love for the kingdom of God and the people of God and the things of God. I think sometimes I used to be driven by a desire for success, but now I'm just driven for the things of God, by the love of God, the love of God's kingdom and God's sanctuary. Praise God. Praise God. God is telling us that we have to work on our own heart. We have to work on our own heart. You say, I don't know why so-and-so don't come to church. It's not in their heart. I don't know why so-and-so don't witness. It's not in their heart. I don't know why they don't like to praise. It's not in their heart.